You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, good morning out here. Oh, I'm going to mention the West Coast. It's absolutely gorgeous sunshine here today. Going to get a little warm, but that's all right. I can handle it.
It's summertime.
Yes.
And not crazy heat, though. Just warm.
Oh, no.
Whereas our friend of the show, Mark Leibovitz, in Phoenix, and it's 118 degrees Fahrenheit there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it can be.
I have to ask him, mind you,
as anybody who grew up in a dry climate says, oh, well, it's hot, but at least it's not hot and sticky and humid and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's a real-life air cooker.
Yeah, drying and cooking at the same time.
Yeah, you don't have to put the egg on the sidewalk to cook it. You can just hold it up.
Oh, isn't that a classic story? Yeah.
And I've actually done that during heat waves. You know, you have to put the egg on the sidewalk. And
did it coalesce?
Oh yeah.
Oh, well, where was this?
Winnipeg.
Oh okay. Jim, that's an outstanding story.
Yes. Now we'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught your eye. The first one that caught mine was Dow futures dropped 300 points right after President Trump announced that he was going to put 35% tariffs on Canadian goods.
Yeah, tariffs are a bad news story. And overall, I think that one aspect of Trump's tariffs gambit is that Canada is a mess of protectionism and marketing boards and all that sort of stuff. And I think he's going to try and knock Canada into the new world of solid economics, market driven, not driven by bureaucrats. And then he talks about the 51st state, which is intentionally provocative. And the point, I think his net idea is to have a free and open economic border, free and open for people traveling north and south, and one huge and very prosperous trading unit from the U.S. to the far north and all the natural resources that Canada has. Overall, it's a good idea. Now, the other one in this is that before the evil introduction of income taxes in the early 1900s, governments had always raised money by taxing things, tariffs on things, and especially when being imported, so thus it became duties and whatnot. So anyways, I think that if he can reduce the costs of the federal government and at the same time increase the revenues that are coming from tariffs, you can eliminate the income tax. And also with that, you can eliminate the Internal Revenue Service. And that is a very constructive story. And I think it's being worked on.
In Canada, income tax was introduced during the First World War as a way to pay for it, but it applied only to the top 5% of income earners.
That's right. It was, and it also at the time, there were letters and arguments and essays that this was going an income tax was evil. It was an evil. It was attacking your money before you even got it, so to speak. So.
And, of course, if you do that, you've taken it out of the hands of the consumer who will put the money where it needs to go.
Right. You got it.
Now, If someone was to be, you're saying President Trump is a free trader, and yet tariffs are the opposite of free trade. You know, it's protectionism.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I, as I said, the overall goal is to make Canada free, the U.S. more free, and an open border between the two. One huge, very profitable trading unit. So, yeah. I like it.
Now, shades of the 1930s, Mali, the country has seized over a ton of gold from Barrick mining.
Oh, really?
Now, doesn't that kind of make a company want to pull out of a certain country and stop working there?
I guess so, but if you've got a good producer, it puts the company on the line as to how much they're going to give up to protect shareholders. Well, this is going to be an interesting to follow, Jim.
Now going back to the 1930s, President Roosevelt seized private gold assets apart from jewelry, I guess, in an attempt to make up for the government debt. Did that work out very well?
Well, that was 1933, March, I think, because he took office and he had a new deal, and everybody had an idea how to end that Great Depression. So it was a time for policy wonks to go crazy, and they did. And one of them was they had to raise the dollar price of gold, and but they didn't want anybody to make any money on it, so they seized all the gold. That was essentially the corruption of that idea. So,
yeah. Yes. Now, according to this story from Bloomberg, the Mali government seized $117 million worth of gold from the Toronto-based gold mining company, landing helicopters, their dictator for life.
Yeah, no.
Making some kind of wild claims about the company.
Yeah, that's evil, and it won't do the people of the country any good at all.
Now, taking a look at some of the other headlines that caught your eye today. Trump says BRICS members will get an additional 10% tariff over their attempts to de-dollarization the world.
Yeah. Yeah, BRICS. They're desperate to try and create an alternative to the U.S. dollar. But the U.S. dollar is the senior currency and very powerful market forces choose which is going to be the senior currency. Until the 1930s, it was sterling, pound sterling, when London was the financial center of the world, and going way back, and then in the 1550s, it was the guilder in Antwerp, which was then the financial and commercial center of the world. So it changes. and there's, of course, there's a lot of, like Argentina is very upset about the strong U.S. dollar. And it's a good example to explain why the propaganda against the dollar. They owe U.S. dollars into the financial center in New York. So that means they got to sell things in order to service their debt obligations in New York. And then going back to the 1550, where the famous, one of the greatest traders in history, Thomas Gresham, he was the advisor to the British Crown in the financial market in Antwerp, and he was just pointing out that trying to service debt from a weak pound into a strong guilder was hopeless. So he actually worked with Elizabeth's advisors, and they did actually be able to firm up the pound and make the obligation less fearsome. So, a sound senior currency is very constructive, But there's a whole lot of people out there who don't like the concept of a sound senior currency, and they don't like the dollar now as it is the senior currency.
Now, this proposed currency by the BRICS is called the unit. Right now, if it was trading, it would be worth $23.75 U.S. So there's kind of a little black market in it. But it's not a big deal yet. It's not official yet. And from Breitbart, there's the headline, anti-U.S. BRICS holds biggest, most toothless summit yet.
Yeah, that was a good one. Even if this a couple of years ago when they were first starting to promote the BRICS, that it would be convertible into gold and also convertible into commodities, which meant that those guys who were contriving it or talking about it then didn't have a clue what an important currency is and a major and the senior currency should always be convertible into gold. And bank reserve should always be gold, and that's that.
On the subject of gold, countries like Russia and China have been snapping up gold now for more than 12 years. Canada and the UK sold off all of their gold. Was that a big mistake?
Yeah, well, Canada, I remember at the time, it was after some financial catastrophe, and I think the England and Bank of England and other insiders were short gold. So they had to drive the price of gold down, and Canada's permission to join the group of seven or G7 or G20 or something was contingent upon them blasting out all the gold in order to help other central banks who were short of gold. So, you know, that was quite, I remember at the time as being, it was quite rigged and phony as hell. So, yeah.
Should Canada be stocking up on gold again?
Every central bank and all commercial banks should have gold as a reserve.
Some have said Canada isn't stockpiling gold because they might pull off what they did in Mali. Just seize the gold that the gold mining companies have on hand here and put that into reserve.
No, I think we've got too much of a rule of law still in Canada where that sort of chicanery would not even be contemplated. So,
now, our thoughts and prayers for the folks in Texas were, I believe, 200 people dead, maybe more than that, in that flash flood that hit them over last weekend. But we have a headline here that's from Associated Press. Trump appointees have ties to companies that stand to benefit from privatizing weather forecasts because the U.S. federal government has made massive cuts into their weather forecasting service.
That's a nonsense headline.
Do you think there's anything to it?
Oh, no, it's the left upset with the reform that Trump is trying to accomplish.
Now, what
and
I...
So anything that goes wrong is blamed upon Trump. I mean, it's totally absurd.
Now, from CNBC, NVIDIA briefly touched the $4 trillion market cap for the first time. That would make it the richest company in the world, wouldn't it?
Yeah, $4 trillion. I mean, that's huge numbers. Ages ago, biggest transaction date back to the 40s or something when Howard Hughes took over TWA or something like that, Airlines, and he had to raise $400 million debt to do it. Now, that was on the benchmark as the big deal at the time, and that record stood for, but of course now they're talking, as you say, trillions of dollars. It just is mind-boggling.
We'll take a look at more headlines from Bob Hoyt right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts,
radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline from the Daily Mail, condo prices make record slide as crisis hits breaking point.
Oh, yeah. Condominium prices are very weak, and it was, two and a half, three years ago when the real estate was straight up, and we wrote about a three-page article on it, and in a bubble, not everything goes up at the same time, and this has been an everything bubble. So everything goes up. They may not peak all at the same time, then they come down. But the financial markets are often round. Well, the stock market often has good innings into mid-year, where we are now. And our view has been that, hey, this is really good. It's at the right time, and it's beginning to get overbought, and we're watching for it to just see how overbought this thing gets in the next few weeks. And then we note that, that sometimes after a very strong rally into the July-August period, it can sort of pause for a bit, do okay in September, and then a serious financial crises have typically happened in the fall. Now, we don't know that yet, but we want to just see how far and how overbought the stock market can get now.
And with condo prices fall, a lot of people get a condo hoping to build up equity so they can buy a house.
Yeah.
So it affects house prices as well.
Oh, yeah.
Or house sales.
Yeah.
Now,
and then the other thing is that various kinds of real estate go up with the bubble, and various kinds of real estate go down with the bubble burst. It happens.
Developers insisted on making these 500-square-foot condos. People who go out to look at them tell me, I can't live in that tiny thing like that. They made something that's hard to market.
I wasn't following that one. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, the developers could get trapped.
And perhaps if they'd made them just a bit bigger, they would have had a more, instead of going by volume, maybe upscale them a little bit and make them more attractive.
Right.
Because people call them cheese boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I've never bought cheese in a box, but still. Now, another headline from the Financial Times. Hedge funds to blame for coffee price surge.
Yeah, well, they found some shortages, I guess, and the excitement then was to get into the price, get into coffee beans.
Now,
it's just another craziness out there, Jim.
President Trump is threatening 50% tariffs on Brazilian products unless they drop charges against Bolsonaro, their former president.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Now, of course, what's Brazil's biggest export to the United States? I would say that coffee would have to be in the top three.
Yeah. There's a film clip of Sinatra at Rio de Janeiro. And he builds up, and then he does a fabulous rendition of the coffee song. Where there's an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You should look for the clip. Our listeners should look for it, too. It's a wonderful performance.
Now, another headline here. Copper thefts on the rise in New Brunswick.
Yeah, that was just the story. And it's also a sign that somewhere, to some people, copper is valuable. So they're taking wires where they can. And I remember on previous examples, the junkies desperate for money, and they were cutting into copper wires while the electricity was still on. And that was, a shocking result to the perpetrator.
Yeah, I always enjoy those stories where They try to steal copper from electrical facilities, and they end up getting electrocuted.
It's horrendous, but a sign of the times.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, we had a good time today, and we'll look forward to getting together next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.